We're just trying to change the world here, people.
Oh, really?
Facebooking and the tweeting and the Instagramming, all that would not exist without our understanding of science.
So it's amazing that you do that as an insult.
You mean true for you is different from true for anybody else?
Have yeah,
it
absolutely, because I can't
think either got to be true or not.
I can't, no.
Well, howdy do there, O'Reilly Radio listeners. Welcome back to O'Reilly Radio 113. This is show B, recorded Friday, June 10th, 2016, where we dismantle the current events for your edutainment through mostly rational conversations that make you go, oh, really? I am still your host, Andy Cowan, and I still have my usual suspect, Daniel Atherton. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're here. Okay, so we had a nice long chat on the first half of the show. Usually the second half is the vegetables, but we really dug into some deep philosophical quandaries about our politics state and the groupthink behavior and everything. So I encourage
you. We had
you
a heavy salad.
It was a heavy salad. It was a 4,000 calorie salad, I believe. It was something like that, and maybe, that'd be good for breakfast.
Ooh. Oh, 4,000 calorie salad.
It was the chef's salad. It was okay. So it was a steak with a piece of lettuce on it. I understand. It was a salad. It was like that.
Whoa.
So yeah, we eat your vegetables with a side of steak. Something along those lines. You'll understand the joke if you listen to the last show. Trust me. Okay. All right. So we're into SCOTUS stuff. We'll just get right into it here. I've been looking around trying to find a good intro. So I'm looking for things of like, you know, all rise, Supreme Court, blah, 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 now in session, yada, 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 all that fun stuff. So I've been looking through a lot of, movie clips and things like that. You know, some of the great ones like Inherit the Wind, Kill a Mockingbird, you know, some of the great courtroom dramas and things like that. And as I'm looking around, it's like, okay, well, those are great. I mean, they're very dramatic and they're really worth the rewatch, but they're not quite right. So I'm looking at more factual based things, trying to find something related to the Supreme Court, opening the Supreme Court or anything like that. They don't let any recording devices in, at least not willingly. There have been a couple leaks where somebody snuck a camera in, some protester or something, you know, that was able to sit in the gallery and watch the proceedings, and they snuck out with like a little itty bitty tiny bit of video footage of the inside of the chamber, which is where no one's allowed. But apparently the Government Accountability Office is addressing cameras in the courtroom. So I was looking at all this, it's like, oh wait, that's actually something interesting that we might actually be able to maybe see inside the chambers. Maybe we can pull up C-SPAN and see what's going on inside the Supreme Court. But it's a question that the justices seem to receive anytime they speak in public, when only sometimes if there will be cameras at the court. Even as the justices consistently demur, the Government Accountability Office, GAO, recently published the results of its year-long study addressing the Supreme Court's policies pertaining to media coverage of oral arguments and provided perspectives on the potential benefits and costs of the court of providing video coverage or making audio coverage available live rather than releasing it as it is right now after a delay. Even as the report mostly strikes a neutral tone, the tenor of its findings, which indicates the appellate courts offering forms of video or audio coverage, have generally not encountered drawbacks. Nonetheless, seems to suggest that the court could benefit from doing so. I don't know that they're actually going to do it. The court themselves have no desire whatsoever. They are very private bunch. So at the very end, you know, we've got links here to the actual article out on SCOTUS blog that was looking at it. And they've got the results directly to the GAO, which I didn't even know they had a website, the GAO.gov. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. a year-long study on this? This is what our tax dollars are for, people. So when and if the court adds the video or expands current audio coverage, it declined to provide any written comments on a draft version of the report. It may also take its time, especially as a report makes no definitive recommendations and gives voice to various concerns about expanding the court's current coverage. So don't count on it, is what I would say. Even if they could benefit from it, they probably feel that they benefit from having it as a closed proceeding.
Well, again,
mostly closed.
There's a great deal of benefit that could happen, but at the risk of them, they would be at greater risk.
Because, well, what do you mean in risk? Do you mean just becoming even more public figures and
more becoming far more public? And remember, as humans, being able to we communicate so much physically that just through audio there is this wonderful impassiveness and gray area, so you can defend your statements far easier than if you have the total package.
I don't know. I mean, certainly that they could have any number of reasons for not wanting to be on camera live or anything like that, or on camera at all. You know, we do get audio occasionally out from trials.
Yeah, but it's a different thing to have video, and especially in this day and age, video, if it's digital, it lasts forever.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Or at least it has the potential to last forever. Of course, anything that happens at the Supreme Court has to last forever anyway.
Yes, but there is still a level of security in gray there that you don't have the facial expressions. You don't have the body movements. I mean, part of the reason that there are robes for our judges is to
make them uniform, limit
the body language, and to present this look of authority.
You know, I'm going to have to look into exactly why they wear the robes, because you know, it's certainly shrouded in mystery and history and tradition, you know, the
just
way things
coming
are.
From a theatrical background and from costuming and history.
Yeah.
The robe is something that in our day and age is heavily associated with the vestiges of religion, especially organized religion.
Popes and cardinals and that
yes,
like,
but those are authority figures. And so the robe presents this sense of authority, of power. Also, a robe is very theatrical. It catches the eye. It sends a very clear message. And it also helps obscure the body.
Yeah. They don't have to worry about what they look like. It is a uniform, for one, you know. So they all
uniform,
look essentially the same.
Just by default, makes somebody more imposing.
Yeah. Among the potential benefits, the GAO first cited increased public access to the work of the court for those who cannot attend oral arguments. As the report indicates, the courtroom offers approximately 240 seats to the general public. Increased access could also further educate citizens about the court. The report notes, for instance, an official of the Florida Supreme Court believes that broadcasting the 2000 presidential election cases in that court benefited citizens by allowing them to see the arguments and draw their own conclusions. And in particular, the report suggests law students and lawyers may be better able to prepare and serve the court as advocates.
Oh, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Being able to understand the again, visually, so many people learn, as opposed to just the audio.
The report also presents greater public confidence in the court as a possible benefit of providing video and broadening audio coverage. Because there's a great deal of mistrust right now to the court. Oh,
most definitely. You don't have a means of confirmation. Again, see to believe it is a phrase in our culture for a reason.
For instance, the report cites one attorney who believes coverage would show the public, quote, the quality and quantity of the work the court puts into each case. That actually, that would be great to see. The court hears, during its session, roughly 80 cases. They whittle that down from about 8,000 that they can potential that are brought to them. The Solicitor General, I believe is the title, then whittles those down to see whether or not it's something that they would be they would benefit from seeing, or if it's something that is of note that has not already been addressed in law, something that could increase the breadth of knowledge that the court could provide. You know, something new, something relevant that the court could actually address. And then, of the cases that the Solicitor General then passes to the justices, then it has to be, four of them have to say, yes, that's one we want to look at. Otherwise, it is then remanded back. And even then, they may still decide that, you know, after hearing everything, that it's not something that, you know, they can really do anything about and
or you know, it's uphold. Addressed.
Right. There's a clever video that I think I will show next week about how the court actually processes cases that I watched today that I got some of that information from. It's fascinating because nobody this is the one branch of government. We have three branches of government: legislative, executive, and the
judicial
that we don't really know a whole lot about, and they like it that way.
Again, law is great for lawyers because it is so hard to comprehend, understand, and process.
We call it legalese for a reason, because it has to be translated back to English. It's silly. It's absolutely silly. But moving along from what the Government Accountability Office may have to say about allowing things in, the Supreme Court itself is in the final days of its term. So right now they're looking at what cases they're actually going to look at. So predominantly the things that are going to affect us the most is they're probably going to look at an immigration case, which would be the President Obama's proposed change to immigration rules announced late 2014 that would shield more than 4 million people from deportation. Adults in the U.S. illegally could remain if they meet certain residency requirements and have children who are U.S. citizens or lawful permanent residents. It would also expand another program that allows young people to stay in the country if they were brought here under the age of 16. That's very important for those South American and Central American refugees that have made it here without their parents, in many cases.
It's so many Hondurans, Costa Ricans, etc.
Yeah, it's like they're fleeing a war zone. You know, it's a human rights kind of thing. But the changes have not gone into effect. Lower courts blocked the plan after Texas and 25 other states sued, claiming the president had no power to act on his own. So that's going to be addressed most likely. A tie vote would leave that that legal hold in process. President Obama would be unable to put his policy into effect during the remainder of his time in the White House. The Obama administration urged the court to rule that the states have no legal standing to sue in the first place because immigration is strictly the province of the federal government. If the court agreed, that would toss out the lawsuit and allow the president to begin enforcement of action.
Now, that is where the president actually has, I think, some legal standing, because immigration is, in fact, a federal issue and not a state's issue.
Right. So this ends up being a state's rights issue.
Yes.
Not just immigration. So.
But it's for definition of states' rights, which is something that the court likes to hear. Yep. So this will be a good one.
I don't know if they like to hear it, but they do hear it an awful lot. So,
well, no, they like, again, it seems to me the court likes to be able to further define things.
And also we have abortion is back up on the block. What could be the most important abortion case in 25 years is a challenge to one of the nation's toughest restrictions on abortion. Passed in 2013, a Texas law requires clinics providing abortion services meet the same building standards as walk-in surgical centers, and doctors performing abortions must have admitting privileges at nearby hospitals. Since the law was passed, the number of clinics providing abortion services in Texas dropped to 19 from 42 and could fall to 10 if the state wins. The federal appeals court upheld the law, and the Supreme Court tie would leave that ruling in place, allowing the state to enforce the restrictions. The justices could send the case back to the lower courts to get a clearer picture of how the law is affecting clinic operations. I would expect that is going to be what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They will punt. They will send it back for more clarification, allowing the hold to maintain while the case is still pending. So that way the state can ride on its laurels for a while longer, and they can just kind of kick the can down the road a while. Maybe they'll get another justice in that time, and then we'll see whether or not the court leans left or right from there. Right now, I'm kind of okay with it being 8. It's interesting. You know,
yeah,
we do have the tie thing going. But
squandered an excellent chance in his first term to really shake things up. And if Trump wins, I'm actually partially expecting him to use executive power to expand the court.
You mean add more justices?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. Hmm. But then it would be up to the House, the legislative branch, to confirm the nominations. Yeah. So that, again,
that's why I was thinking, again, I still wish he would have taking that executive power early in his term as president, before the legislative branch became so entrenched in just opposing everything.
But adding more justices would actually, I think it would reduce the number of cases that they could actually hear.
It would lower it, but in some ways it would have allowed him to, again, this is the dream scenario,
yeah,
appoint those that fit his worldview.
Yeah, but then you also could get into the strange precedent of a new president coming in with an opposing House and Congress, and then nominating a judge every time.
You could.
You know, there's nothing that could that prevents that now, certainly, other than just kind of tradition. So eventually, you know, if that happened a couple times, you know, every new president came in, added another justice.
I doubt that would happen, but again,
we're in bizarro land. We're in bizarro world here. Yeah.
See, I don't see Hillary, if she actually gets the presidency, increasing. But if Trump does,
I see Hillary very much as Barack Obama part 2.
Yeah. This time more corrupt.
This time with more corporate sponsors.
Yeah.
The sequel, bigger, better, better funded.
Brought to you by Wall Street.
Let's see. So
with Trump, no, I see him actually exercising a lot more of the different, the varied executive powers.
Hmm. We'll see what happens. It would be very interesting. I don't know what's gonna. The very fact that there could be a President Trump bothers me.
Terrifies the world.
Yeah, the whole world. Yeah, not just me. Not just you. No, Everybody. The whole world. Yay. Okay. So other things that they're going to look at, affirmative action. Opponents of affirmative action in college admissions are hoping the Supreme Court will use a case from Texas, again, Texas.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, to end the practice once and for all. Their target is the program at the University of Texas at Austin. A state law guarantees admission to the university for students in roughly the top 10% of the graduating class of any Texas high school. To fill the remaining slots, about one-fourth of each entering class, the school considers several other factors, including an applicant's race. That last step is the program now under court challenge. A sweeping ruling on affirmative action nationwide seems unlikely. So, and we have a podcat.
Yay, podcat.
Yay, podcat. Okay, well, oh, okay, there you go. Yeah, I love you too, buddy. Okay, so that's going to be interesting. Yeah,
I don't know if they're actually going to
lose
one.
Though with the way that some of the rulings have come down and what they've looked at, race is weird, you know, with the Supreme Court in general.
Well, with this current court.
Yeah, it's really strange since the only dissenting opinion in a in the last racially charged case was Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
And it's like, shouldn't you have been the shoe-in on this one? And you're the only dissenting voice?
Well, again, he's now, with Scalia dead,
mm-hmm.
he is now the most conservative voice in the court.
Yeah, by far. Which is funny, because often he would, I'm thinking of, one of the others. I can't remember his name because I have a cat on my shoulder and he's kind of digging in. Okay. All right. Moving right along. let's see. I think that's actually
that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Supreme Court rebuffs challenge. Okay. Yeah. Ah. Sorry for all the scratching on the microphone, but, you know,
podcat is affectionate.
Podcat is affectionate and must be seen on camera and must be on my shoulder. If he could actually say something, he's like right at the mic right now, but I don't think anybody's going to hear him purring. Okay. So that was the big news there for the Supreme Court, at least for the Supreme Court of the United States. But we do have some news from more local state Supreme Courts. The Florida Supreme Court, asked to allow open carry of guns. So, in Tallahassee, where the Supreme Court is, the seat of government here in Florida, months after Florida legislature rejected a measure to allow concealed weapon permit holders to carry their guns openly in public, the Florida Supreme Court on Wednesday heard oral arguments in the case that could lead to the legalization of open carry after all. The case is Norman v. State. And was brought by a man found guilty of violating a state statute that outlaws the open carry of firearms and has become a vehicle for Florida's gun lobby to win approval of open carry in the wake of the legislative defeat. Now, we could talk for days about the merits behind open carry, concealed carry, having a gun at all, not having guns, having Obama come and take all your guns.
Here's my argument when it comes to open carry.
Okay.
Especially in this state.
Yeah. Just a reminder, Hi. We are in Florida. So.
Hi.
Hi, Daniel.
Black man, open carry, gun. What are the cops going to do?
Shot dead.
Yep.
Nearly every time.
Yeah.
Trevor Martin.
And they're just exercising their Second Amendment rights.
Well, they're only your Second Amendment rights if you're white.
And that's why this is not going to pass.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, we've seen I've seen videos
just kids
of,
with toy guns.
No,
get
no,
shot.
I've seen gun rights activists actually go out, you know, and while black, carrying like an AK-47 strapped to their back. Because it's legal. They got a permit. And it was open carry. They were forced to the ground. And 15 squad cars then surrounded them. In a state with open carry. Because it was a black man with an assault rifle. We are not ready for that because we are far too racist as a country.
Just think if...
Perhaps as a people.
Now, going even to a far more nuclear-level scenario, mm-hmm. somebody who appears to be Muslim and carrying
an
assault weapon.
Again, same scenario.
Yeah.
Same scenario. Because then you're just a different shade of black.
No, this cannot pass here in this state.
I live
close to Sanford. We still hear and feel the echoes of Trayvon Martin's death.
Yeah. It's just going to be an ugly thing. An ugly, ugly thing. I do not support open carry. Because you don't know if they're the bad guy with the gun until they start shooting. You know, I don't really support concealed carry either. Because, again, you don't know that they're the bad guy with the gun until they start shooting. You don't know they even have a gun. I'd much prefer just, you're not allowed to carry firearms unless you're a police officer. You've got a badge, therefore, you can carry it.
And even then, a lot of our law enforcement, especially in this state, are not fully trained to use their firearms responsibly.
I would like to err on the side that they're at least trained.
Range times, mandatory range times have been cut down severely over the past two decades. Also instruction. State funding for law enforcement here in Florida has been slashed left and right. Also, mental requirements, background checks, those have been cut down.
Not in every county. That is a county by county thing.
That is a county by county thing, but
yeah, we have discussed that as well.
But when looking at budgets, a lot of the budgets towards law enforcement get cut.
Yeah. And that's happening everywhere. Everywhere, all across the country.
The benefits and the pay no longer attract the best and brightest. No one wants to serve their community anymore, especially when the community's opinion of law enforcement is so low.
Yeah, it's been a downward spiral. You know, they're not doing themselves any favors by some of the things that they're doing. In many, many ways. And of course, also, we suffer on the education front as well. You know, again, education is not attracting the best and the brightest because you can't make a living on it some days.
No, you can't make a living on it, period, in most states.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, really bad. And yeah, people that don't have kids or don't have kids anymore in school don't care. They don't realize that those are the people that are going to be figuring out the laws and how to enforce the laws when they're old and gray. You know, that you want smart children. You really do. Even if they're not yours.
The two things that you want to invest your money in, especially your tax dollars, are education and infrastructure. Those are the things that are going to affect your life.
Which ends up having rocket scientists and ditch diggers. Everybody wins. At least you'd like to think so. Okay, so Florida's on the radar again, of course. And let's see. What's going on here? What's going on here?
What's going on in California?
All the way on the West Coast. The federal court rules that there is no constitutional right to carry a concealed firearm. Well, isn't that convenient? You found this out on Dead State. What's going on here?
Well, this past Thursday, a divided Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, based in San Francisco, they ruled that the law in the books that requires gun owners to show a good reason before they can obtain a license to carry a concealed handgun was upheld. Whatever the scope of the Second Amendment may be, it simply does not extend to the carrying of concealed firearms in public by members of the general public. That clear cut, that simple.
I love it. Now, if only if we can get that kind of ruling down here, though it'd have to be challenged by somebody with the right kind of motivation. NRA just has really deep pockets.
Huge.
So gun owners in two California counties challenged the requirement that they show good cause, as defined by county sheriffs, before they could get concealed carry permits. Thursday, the majority opinion traced the rights of gun owners from medieval England to the founding of the United States and through the Civil War, finding that local laws almost universally prohibited carrying concealed firearms in public. Because the Second Amendment does not protect in any degree the right to carry concealed firearms in public, any prohibition or restriction a state may choose to impose on concealed carry, including the requirement of good cause, however defined, is necessarily allowed by the amendment, said the court. Done. Done, done, done. So that's probably going to go to the Supreme Court.
I don't know. Again, while the gun lobby wants people to have as many firearms as possible, you can't. The argument here, again, the Second Amendment doesn't talk about concealed carry whatsoever.
True.
And that's not the intent of the Second Amendment.
But it's the right to bear arms.
You can own firearms because...
But I want to bear them on my person. And I'm not allowed to open carry.
No, you're not allowed to open carry. And no, you shouldn't be carrying a firearm unless you have an excellent reason to carry a firearm.
But I don't trust the Mexicans.
Get over yourself.
But I don't trust those black people neither.
You know what? If it makes you feel better and makes you feel like a big man, you can carry a knife within the rules and regulations of your county and state.
But that's not enough to protect me from the Arabs, from the Muslims.
If you can't actually handle a knife, you need to, you know, join the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts. Help out. They'll show you how to use a knife.
How about karate? How about judo? How about any of those hand-to-hand combat things? Nothing makes you feel like a man quite as much as taking down another man with your bare hands.
There are plenty of MMA gyms throughout the state. There's also plenty of CrossFit gyms throughout the state. Go get fit. Move on.
Right. And, of course, speaking of getting fit, we have to also say, we has a sad. But that's later in the show, isn't it? No, actually, we don't have it listed. We have to say goodbye to Muhammad Ali.
Yep.
Because he was the greatest. He stung like a butterfly and floated like a bee.
He was a legend.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. The other way around.
Yeah, no, he is one of the few celebrities in this age that can actually be called iconic.
Yeah. He also was a pacifist, and he took that pacifism all the way to the Supreme Court, and he won. And he was Muslim.
Yes. In fact, he was pretty much an ambassador throughout the world for that faith.
Yep. Formerly Cassius Clay, turned to Muhammad Ali when he adopted Islam as his faith and was a conscientious objector. So, yeah, it was a big deal. He spent millions of his own money at a time when that was real money to fight the government on his ability to do that. And he won. He won for all of us. So
he paved the way for a lot of people and again, for the Muslim community, for the African-American community, for athletes, and for people in general.
Yeah.
The man did a great deal of good.
He will be missed. He'll even be missed by people like Donald Trump, who said as much and then was apparently confused about him being a Muslim, not knowing that. Yeah. So.
Wonderful note when it came to the earlier Trump tweet about not knowing Muslim athletes. During Obama's run to become a for Congress, his congressional run,
mm-hmm.
one of his promo pictures was him in his office underneath a picture of Muhammad Ali.
Underneath the picture. Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hi, O'Reilly Radio listeners. This is your host, Andy Cowan, calling my voicemail to make sure that it still works. Please consider calling us, 470-222-6759. Bye!
It's time for another good idea, bad idea. Good idea.
How about Elizabeth Warren as the vice president?
This is sort of a good idea and bad idea.
Let's see. Why is it a bad idea?
Bad idea is she, again, as The Guardian, the article that we have a link to, points out, she is sort of the North Star of the liberal-leaning Democrats.
She's basically the female version of Bernie Sanders.
While she would definitely help heal the divisions within the party, putting her on the ticket with Hillary, it would remove her from trying to make policy and enforcing policy within the Senate. She is one of the most outspoken voices and proponents for liberal laws, for controlling our financial systems and our economy. She is one of the most responsible and outspoken senators we've got. And to lose that would be bad.
Yeah, but there might also be just a, again, the good idea, bad idea. Good idea would be for her to be there next to Hillary to continue to pull her to the left.
Again, for Hillary to win, this is a great idea. Not good, great idea. Because her picking up Bernie after there's just so much vitriol and ichor between those two, I don't think it would heal the divisions within the party. Warren's the better choice. Also, she is far more eloquent and is a better at attacking Trump than Hillary will ever be.
Yeah. I have to think, just as a voter and as a Bernie Sanders supporter myself, full disclosure on that, I did donate to his campaign and all that, of my hard-earned money that I could have spent on this podcast instead, but no, I gave it to him. So with that and leaning, I'm almost leaning towards third party at this point because of the way that she has presented herself in the race. If she were to pick up Elizabeth Warren as a vice president, she would also pick up my vote, you know.
Period. And this does help pull her to the left, pull the policies coming out of the White House a bit more to the left.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to financial regulation, because that is one of Warren's pet projects.
Oh, she's big on that. Yeah.
At that, and also wrangling student debt. Those are like her two big campaigns she champions. So we could actually see that being part of the policy coming out of the White House with her on the ticket. And also, again, she is a beloved figure by those more left-leaning Democrats like yourself, like myself, which makes Clinton slightly more palatable.
Yeah, and it would. It would make her much more palatable. Interesting response from Trump as Elizabeth Warren has gone on the offensive against him on Twitter, of all places, of course.
On numerous occasions.
On
and also
numerous
Facebook.
Occasions, yeah. Basically, she called him a loud, nasty, thin-skinned fraud who serves no one but himself. Where's the lie? Anyway, Trump tweeted... yeah. Trump tweeted in response, "Goofy Elizabeth Warren, one of the least productive U.S. senators, has a nasty mouth. Hope she is the VP candidate, VP choice."
No, he doesn't.
I don't think that he really does. That might be one of those, be careful what you wish for.
The best you can say is goofy.
Yeah, well,
the best you can come up with.
He's goofy. He's entirely goofy.
Again, it's hard. The other thing is, with Warren, you have somebody who is far harder to attack. Clinton has so many skeletons and is so easy to needle and get her. Warren has been fairly consistent on her voting record and on video and in quotes.
Yeah.
So it's hard to attack her in any way, shape, or form.
Other than calling her goofy. That was the best you got?
Yeah. And least productive? No, she's not least productive.
Yeah, not at all. No, she's been very effective at what she's been trying to do.
Yeah, no, this... And I don't care who he picks as his VP choice. In a debate, she'll tear them apart.
I think there is a strong case to be made for Elizabeth Warren as not the safe pick, but very confident pick. It would energize the party, and it would drive Donald Trump crazy. I don't know why he fights with her. That was said by Bob Shrum, a Democratic strategist who worked with Al Gore and John Kerry.
No, again, he can't pick that fight and win. And whoever he gets as his running mate, it's going to be in our Biden-Ryan debate. And that was a clinic on how to just wipe the floor with somebody. And I expect the same if Warren is the VP pick.
Yeah, I really loved that debate. Biden really just owned him top to bottom.
That was an Ali one-sided fight.
Yeah. I mean, and he did get a little of the crazy Uncle Joe kind of thing going in there, but he was passionate and he knew
it
what he was talking about, and it worked. Yeah. And I see very much the same kind of attitude as that is in Elizabeth Warren, the way she presents herself and really goes after the bastards. So, I like her. That and as a bonus, if anything were to happen to Hillary, she'd be president.
We're not putting any sort of ideas.
Nope.
For
I'm just saying that's just a bonus. Just a bonus.
Okay, folks.
Just a bonus.
No ideas.
It's just pecking order. That's all it is. Just a reminder that she would be able to pick a good Supreme Court justice, one that will not bring about the apocalypse. And of course, if something were to happen to her, then there'd be Elizabeth Warren right there. So that's a good thing. All right. Take that for whatever you will. Now let's head over to Norway with a good idea. Plans to be climate neutral brought forward 20 years to 2030, which is not very far away.
No.
So this is a this is a current article. I like to check that just every now and then because we've had a rash of the old stuff that we pull in.
I was good this time.
Okay, no, it's all good. It's all good. They've been relevant. I mean, it doesn't matter if they're old. They add to the conversation. So as part of the plan, Norway has become the first country to ban deforestation?
Yeah.
What the? No way.
Oh, yes way. It as we talked earlier with Sweden really trying to be aggressive in the laws that they're passing to put pressure on other first world nations about climate change. This is Norway, again, applying international pressure to go, hey, guys, hey, we need to fix this.
So the Norwegian parliament agreed to bring the goal of becoming climate neutral forward from 2050 to 2030, which was their original plan. The parties have approved this ambitious goal as long as other countries make similarly major commitments in accordance with the Paris Climate Agreement, agreed on by 175 countries this last December.
Yeah, it's that lovely wording that gives them an out, but at the same time, applies international pressure for others to work towards this goal.
As long as other countries make that. Little caveat that.
Though, when getting into more of the details of their plan, I'm going, please let more countries try and do this.
Especially the decision comes after a series of major commitments to the environment, such as becoming the first country in the world to commit to zero deforestation.
They also plan to ban the sale of all fossil fuel cars in the next decade.
I guess that would also mean – that would mean hybrids as well. They wouldn't allow hybrids because that's a fossil fuel vehicle.
But the thing is with Norway, this is an even stronger statement because a large part of their economy relies on oil. In fact, most of their welfare, the funding for their welfare programs comes from the oil industry. And that money is then taken by the government from their taxes on petroleum to fund welfare. In fact, from the sharing of those petrol profits, if you are a Norwegian citizen, you're essentially making the equivalency of about $12 an hour for like a 7-hour day.
Wow. That's quite a bit.
Just better than what I'm making.
Just to be alive and be a citizen?
Yeah.
All based on that petroleum. So that's interesting.
So them actually banning fossil fuel cars in their country is a giant statement.
Well, it certainly is possible for them because as a sign of its progress already toward the 2030 target, around 24% of the country's cars already run on electricity, with more than 99% of Norway's electricity supply produced through hydropower. So they're already not producing greenhouse gases in the production of their electricity. They're already green there.
They're also trying to corner the local market on wind power, and they're investing 2 billion euros into the private sector.
Is that euro? No, that's pounds, isn't it?
That's pounds. You're right. I read that wrong. That's even more pricey.
Yeah. So 2 billion pounds investment in the sector.
It was approved in 2013.
So yeah, they're being very aggressive, which is very good since the real problem is the Paris Agreement has set a target limiting the warming of the planet to well below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial revolution levels. That's going to be hard. That's going to be very hard because we've already passed that tipping point. So now we actually have to start reversing global warming to get there. So it's not just reducing the amount that we're putting into the atmosphere. We actually have to start taking it out. start
but there are
removing
technologies
those greenhouse
to gases. Do that, and there are means to do that without having to do insane amount of investment. But first, we have to become neutral.
Right. We have to reduce and then eliminate our dependence on those fossil fuels, and then we can really start sequestering all that carbon again.
Again, and deforestation, the banning of deforestation by them is a giant step forward.
Absolutely.
Gigantic step forward.
Huge. Huge. Okay. Let's move right along.
Are you annoyed by misinformation spreading like crazy? And you want to stop the flood of nonsense coming from all directions? Go to Wikipedia, as do all those millions out there. Did you know there's an edit button on all Wikipedia articles? Why don't you go and hit that button to start making the world's largest online encyclopedia a more reliable source of information? If you're specifically interested in skeptical topics, come and join us at Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia, an international endeavor to change the world for the better, word by word. There are many ways you can contribute. You just need to start. You speak several languages? All the more reason to join us. We provide training and all the help you need. If you want to make a change, there's a nice community waiting for you out there. Contact us at gsowteam@gmail.com, visit our website, that's gorillaskeptics.com, or check out the Guerrilla Skepticism on Wikipedia Facebook page.
Bad idea.
Alrighty, so we're over at deadstate.org here, and now we're going to talk about...
it's Brussels sprout time, folks.
Personal responsibility. There's this stupid kid named Brock Turner, and, well, he did a bad. He did a very bad. He raped a girl who was unconscious.
To get to the nitty-gritty, technically, it was sexual assault. It wasn't rape.
If we want to be completely clinical about it, yeah. But logistically speaking, he raped an unconscious woman.
Yes, he did.
Because, as the British would like to say, a sleeping person does not want tea. A sleeping person does not want sex because they're asleep. So consent being one of those things, and you know that was the way the British were able to turn this phrase. A sleeping person wants no tea. this story, it's been all over the place. So I, again, this is not the kind of story that I want to belabor the point of because it's already been touched on, you know, immensely. But with this, now we're talking about the father. Yep. He's already made some headlines for himself by some of his statements about his son getting 20 minutes of action and then having to spend 6 months in jail for it. The fact that he's only spending 6 months is the real story. Like, wait, what? Why is that happening?
If he hadn't been wealthy, yeah, and he hadn't been white, he would have been facing up to 41 years in prison.
41 years.
If he hadn't been wealthy, and he hadn't been white. He was facing six. He got 6 months. Not 6 years.
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah. What do we have to say about this? I mean, it's one of those things I don't really want to talk about because everyone has already talked about it. You know, it is super uncomfortable.
The conversation about this has been exhaustive, but in such an egregious case as this, a miscarriage of justice to the point of rage.
Yeah.
Pure rage.
It's exhausting rage. Because there's nothing that we can do about it.
It can't be stressed enough, no. And nothing can be done about it, really, because of double jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
which isn't just an interesting courtroom movie, folks. It's a law in our books. You can't be tried for the same crime.
Twice. Yeah, you cannot be tried for the same crime twice. Yeah.
So,
which is also why, you know, people like O.J. Simpson can walk around with impunity, basically having then as much admitted to his crime after the fact.
Because he's already been tried and found not guilty.
Right. Brock's parents are dealing with a monumental, life-changing, and tragic situation with Brock, and their expenses continue to mount. As a mother and a friend, I would do anything to help my child and save him. The Facebook page's description read, I know that while we are not experiencing what they are feeling, my heart and faith continues to help, to want to help and be supportive.
And if you scroll down, here's where it gets skeevier. Yeah.
A
customer service representative for Wright Pat Credit Union confirmed Dan Turner created the account for the family and said the credit union account is still active, which that's not some friend of the family made this page, which is what it's meant to look like. No, the father made this page.
And made it. Look, because that sounded feminine. Yeah. Not that I'm all about gender stereotyping or anything, but it had a motherly family. Yeah, it had a motherly approach to it.
It was a misleading page.
Yeah, so to go back, because we didn't actually mention this. Basically, there's now a Facebook campaign to help the parents of Brock pay for the legal fees and things like that,
and Mr. Turner made a GoFundMe page to help pay for the legal fees.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm not advocating this, but another podcast out there, also not advocating this. There's there's an address attached where you can send funds or things to. I'm not going to say what you should send, but I would like to look back at those guys that took over the bird sanctuary in Oregon and just remember some of the things that they got in the mail.
55-gallon drum of lube still sticks out in my mind.
That does, yeah, and maybe boxes of dildos and other adult accessories.
The gummies were nice.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you should send them a bag of dicks. I'm not saying that at all. But you don't have to look far to get the address. Should you wish to send them a note. Let them know what you feel. This is obviously a very charged thing. It's a very charged thing.
Yeah.
Politically, emotionally, this is terrible. It's serving to raise the awareness of, well, both white privilege and what it allows in this country.
Also, what it means to be wealthy in this country.
Wealth privilege is even more paramount, very much so. Because we could look back at O.J. Simpson, you know, a black man. His wealth privilege was far, far larger than his white privilege ever could be. So that's one thing that will always level the playing field. Money. He who has the most dollars to spend wins in many of these cases. In this case, he also happened to be white. And, you know, the judge was lenient because he didn't want him to ruin his swimming career, I believe.
There was something along reasons, and we can go into more detail with our next dose of Brussels sprouts.
Oh, shall we move on? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's move on. So this is out BBC, because BBC is a little bit more fair and balanced than some of our news agencies. Stanford sexual assault. Pressure to sack the judge grows. So Judge Aaron Persky has been heavily criticized for sentencing Brock Turner to only 6 months in jail. Now, what did you find particularly meaty about this this vegetable?
Well, with this wonderful Brussels sprout, we find that there has been a number of petitions that have been exhaustively signed calling for this man to be recalled.
So two petitions have reached 115,000 and 175,000 signatures each. They, of course, have no legal force, but organizers hope that they will increase pressure for politicians to act. Mr. Persky, a Supreme Court judge in Santa Clara County, California, has reportedly received death threats in the wake of the case. See, I'm only saying that I'm not saying that you should send bags of dicks. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying death threats. I think that the dildo politics is probably far better for this kind of thing. It speaks volumes.
Skipping down, yeah. The petition posted on change.org says that Mr. Persky had failed to send the message that sexual assault is against the law regardless of social class, race, gender, or other factors. The judge said in his remarks that he was concerned about the severe impact a longer sentence would have on Turner's life. You know, the severe impact of being in prison.
You know, he's going to have to register as a sex offender anyway.
Yeah, but the severe impact of being in prison. Now, I wonder how often the Judge Persky has seen sexual assault and rape cases in his time. And how often he was concerned with the severe impact of imprisonment on others who he has tried. I'm very curious.
Oh, I don't think that's something that you're probably ever going to find out. And of course, Turner's father, who was also criticized after issuing a statement to the court saying his son was paying a steep price for only, quote, 20 minutes of action, end quote. I've heard it in another post out there saying, you know, if that's what he's saying to a judge, what kind of statements was this father making at home that allowed this kind of okay practice to enter his son's mind if this was only constituting 20 minutes of action with an unconscious woman? That's the kind of action this guy wants? That's the kind of action that his father is saying shouldn't matter? Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So we've had Vice President Joe Biden has also gotten involved with his campaign, and he wrote an open letter praising the victim for her courage, and
and he's already part of that campaign to try and limit and curtail sexual assault on our college campuses.
It is a bit rampant.
Yep.
Though I don't know that it's any more so than it ever was, but it's certainly getting the publicity now.
Well, no, numbers now for reporting. So that this is just
again, yeah, it's reported. It's what's reported. That's why I don't know if the actual numbers are different.
Are higher than they've been ever.
Yeah.
And that's just in the cases reported.
Right. That's the thing. They're being reported now.
Yeah.
I think that they were always there.
No, it's just they're being reported more often, and studies show that the amount that's being reported is still just a tiny percentage. I've seen figures as low as what's being reported is only 4% of incidences. 4%.
Yeah, I could see that. And there's a lot of universities. There's a lot of schools out there that have a reputation as well.
Oh, yeah. And it's all over the place.
Yeah. Things to consider when you're looking to go to college.
Things to consider when you're looking to put your kids into college.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think that that's enough Brussels sprouts for me.
Yeah.
I don't need to think about that vegetable anymore.
We've had a lot of veggies this episode.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. It's been feature packed. Lots of interesting information. Some good, some bad. So
40,000 calories of vegetables.
Yes, exactly. It's a big salad. It's a really big salad. Okay. So, as far as picks go, in keeping with kind of a history bend to some of the things that keep me interested, Battlefield 1. hang on. Nope. I don't actually want that to start.
Naughty.
Thank you. Okay. So, World War I happened. But we don't have any real games that we can go back and explore World War I. I was a big fan of Battlefield 1942.
Okay.
Big fan. Love that game. Great first-person shooter. Of course, that was on hardware that, you know, it pales in comparison to what I have now.
Yeah.
And even then, it was still really good.
Call of Duty, I fell in love with.
Yeah. So, with Battlefield 1... EA is apparently expressing a little bit of concern that kids don't even know that World War I even happened.
Oh, may I please join you on this one?
Please
I've
do.
Researched this and was in on this early in the week.
Fitting then. Go ahead.
No, the bosses high up within EA, which tells you just how much they don't understand anything. I used to be a games journalist. I have a great deal of justifiable rage and displeasure for most of those in charge of the major publishing companies out there.
Okay.
That when they were given the pitch for Battlefield 1, mm-hmm. the execs went, nah, this won't sell. This won't be interesting at all. The kids don't know what World War I is. And it's hard for me to just cognitively unpack that statement, because one, the Battlefield games are rated M for mature.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of blood.
So, he is either A, acknowledging that they deliberately market to kids with that statement, and that marketing to kids is the number one goal for EA and the Battlefield line, a thing that is illegal.
Well, yeah.
And unethical.
Technically, I don't know how old I was when I started playing them.
Or, and that he has so little faith in the educational systems that we have in place today here in the States and abroad.
They may be showing a bit of a bias, perhaps.
That kids don't know what World War I is. And that some of the younger consumers out there don't know that there was a World War II or a Vietnam War.
Yeah, speaking at the Bank of America Merrill Lynch 2016 Global Technology Conference, Jorgensen said there was some debate inside EA about Battlefield 1's setting. World War I, we were worried that many of our younger consumers out there didn't know that there was a World War II or Vietnam, so World War I? He said?
Yeah.
One of the reasons why let's see, Söderlund?
Söderlund.
Okay, Söderlund originally rejected DICE's Battlefield 1 pitch was because he thought trench warfare couldn't be fun. Well, that statement alone, hang on. Trench warfare, fun. Okay, yeah, it's an interesting
Yeah, but
thought.
World War One was so much more than just the trenches.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's what this game is. You're getting biplane fights. You are getting old-time tanks and tank runs. Yes, you're still getting the trench warfare, but it...
Lots of shelling.
And also, early on in the war, before they started using the automatic weapons, you had cavalry charges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, there was a lot of different combined arms. It was a rich historical thing. The other thing to keep in mind also with just how wrong these corporate execs are is that the trailer for this game, Battlefield 1, is the most liked trailer for anything on YouTube.
You know,
anything.
I haven't even seen it yet. I haven't even seen it yet. Let's watch it. Let's see if it'll come up all proper, like. Oh, come on. Really? No? Where is it? Is that it?
Unknown.
Yes. I think. Come on.
Let's see if we have to get a trailer for the trailer.
Yes,
we do have to sit through 20 minutes of a trailer to see the actual trailer.
Well, 30 seconds of said trailer for said trailer.
Oh,
which is terrible.
Trailerception, it hurts me.
Yeah, it's rough since unfortunately this one's not out on YouTube, and also it's glitchy as all heck. But it's not out at YouTube because I actually subscribe to the YouTube Red thing, so I don't get ads.
Yeah,
which is it's really nice and great for the kids, though I get all sorts of weird things suggested to me because of what the kids are watching. I get all sorts of really weird stuff. You know, the kids these days, I just don't understand.
But
it's actually pretty true.
We're wading through this glitchy trailer. In contrast, Call of Duty, which is another modern warfare thing, has one of the most disliked trailer videos of all time.
Really?
Yeah. So that's the contrast. World War One is far more interesting than the same old gritty brown gray modern shooter.
Well, it's different. I mean, that's for sure.
The market likes different.
Yeah.
But executives don't realize that the market likes different.
Yeah. That was like the worst trailer that I've ever had to sort of sit through. Just waiting for something to play. Okay, so come on. Okay. Wow, it's just super glitchy all over the place. They're not feeding the...
Well, it is GameSpot, to be fair.
What the heck is going on here?
Or unfair.
Yeah, I guess I can look out at YouTube itself, since you said that it was the most seen ever, right? So.
Well, no, not the most seen, most liked.
Okay. Battlefield 1... Official reveal trailer. And don't play automatically, please. Okay, copy. And paste and go. I will do this. It will work, I swear. Come on. I hope it's not my browser. Could be my browser. No, it's going fine. Nice. Oh, the biplanes, the tri-wings. Oh, tanks. Okay. Ooh.
Planes,
yeah, boats. There's the artillery. Shell shock. Oh, some very good graphics. Zaplands. Zaplands. Oh, Zeppelin, Zeppelin, Zeppelin.
Play it first on Xbox One with EA Access.
Okay, no, I'm not going to play it on Xbox. That's definitely going to be a PC title for me.
Yes, heavens, yes.
Yeah, that looks... Oh, that looks fun. So that's why it's my pick. I'm a sucker for the old killing Nazis. You know, I'm just a sucker for that, really.
Oh, but, you know, here you're killing Krauts. They're not Nazis.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Nazi Party had not taken form. But you know what? It's still got that feel. You're still killing Germans that are fighting against you. So, I love the Germans. Don't get me wrong.
Great beer, incredibly polite. Have given
absolutely.
Us
absolutely. It's
a lot in the way of culture.
I've got no problem.
That was one of the things that always stunned me.
I speak
me.
A little German. It's all good. You know, I've been there. It's the only country really that I've ever visited, you know, in Europe. So I love Germany. But still, I love the World War II simulators and all that. Oh,
There's plenty of joy there. Again, Call of Duty was one of my favorite shooters of all time. Still is.
Actually, once upon a time, my German foreign exchange student actually gave me a game about killing Nazis. So that's awesome. Ooh. So even they like killing Nazis. I mean, come on.
Well, again,
what's not to love?
to bring it back to our earlier conversations. Wasn't too.
That is a lot of views, though. 38,444,017. Oh, yeah. With 1,843,285 likes. Just add one more there. Yeah, that's a lot of likes. That's some good stuff there. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, but. In response to the rise of Trump, a number of German politicos put together an anti-demagogue ad.
Okay, that's fun.
That I managed to see through Facebook, and it was impressive.
Hmm.
So... I suggest for everybody try and dig that one up. It was good.
Okay, if you find it, give it to me. I'll post it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah, but my pick is more current, but still cultural, and it's the Tony Awards. It's this Sunday, 8 p.m.
So you're going to only be seeing this on Wednesday, unless you're a patron. In which case, then you will get the drop on Sunday night, Monday morning. But yeah, otherwise, I'm sorry, you're gonna be getting this after the fact. So I hope that you've already got this on your DVRs out there.
Yeah, but no, Tony Awards, great time, 16 nominations for Hamilton, which was my last week's pick, and it's gonna be a great show. You're going to see a lot of wonderful theater to get you excited about theater. And this is the good kind of pageantry.
70th annual Tony Awards.
Yeah, it's been around that long. The American Theater Wing has had this award ceremony for 70 years.
Presented by the Broadway League, IBM, United, City National Bank, Grant Thornton, People, Playbill, Entertainment,
Carnegie Mellon University,
American Theater Wing, Nordstrom, Paramount Hotel, Broadway HD, Fiji Water even, Porsche, Coach Leather, La Crema, all sorts of good stuff. It's a big deal. It is a cultural icon, always has been.
Also,
well, at least for the last 70 years.
You're like me, and you have cut the cord. CBS does give a free week subscription to their on-demands and watch online. So,
out on this webpage, under multimedia, watch online, download and watch past Tony Award shows.
Yep, so you can see some of the older stuff. Anything pretty much hosted by a lot of the previous hosts, which were Hugh Jackman, who got his start really in an Australian production of Oklahoma. So just keep that in mind.
Really? Oklahoma, okay.
Yeah, he was the lead in Oklahoma.
Now, these are not for free. They definitely want you to buy the past award shows, but that's not really a surprise. So,
but you can go to on YouTube. There are plenty of videos of the different production numbers that were done in the past,
mm-hmm.
Which are just great fun. But this year's Tony's going to be fantastic. And if you haven't seen a lot of the musicals, this is a great time to get like little featured bits of each ones. That's actually how I was exposed to A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, which is an amazing musical and a load of fun.
There's some interesting stuff. Oh, Noises Off.
Yeah, they revived Noises Off and Long Day's Journey into Night. So there's some intense stuff for revivals. And two Arthur Millers.
Yeah, The Crucible and a View from the Bridge. Yeah.
I will take A View from a Bridge over The Crucible any day of the week.
Yeah, I would too. but still, wow.
But honestly, I'm more rooting for Long Day's Journey or Noises Off because I love those shows.
I have to. I worked on the production of Noises Off my first year at UCF, at Theater UCF, so I kind of am partial. Yeah.
But we've got The Color Purple, Fiddler on the Roof, She Loves Me, and Spring Awakening.
Spring Awakening.
For a revival of a musical.
Best book of a musical, Bright Star by Steve Martin. Wow. And, oh, yes. Hamilton,
School of Rock, Shuffle Along.
George C. Wolfe. Wow. Edie Brickell.
Yeah.
Oh, she did the lyrics. Okay, she did the lyrics for Bright Star.
Bright Star, yeah.
Music by Steve Martin and Edie Brickell.
Yep.
Amazing stuff. And The Waitress. Music and lyrics by Sarah...
Barile?
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay, so Gabriel Byrne. Love that guy.
And it's Long Days, so awesome stuff.
Yeah. Jeff Daniels.
Yep.
Nice. Blackbird. Oh, man. Okay, oh,
it's an intense competition.
Sorry, for your audio listeners out there, this is obviously boring because I'm scanning through the Tony Awards website for the nominees, and it's just like,
yeah, and
lots of that.
The odds-on favorite, Lupita Nyong'o for Eclipsed, and her performance in that show for Best Actress Leading Role Play.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, so the Tony Awards, that's going to happen real soon. Unfortunately, if you're listening to this on Wednesday,
sorry.
It's already happened, but it looks like you can go out and you can purchase the thing on iTunes and various other outlets out there because they are partnering with, like, everybody. Like, you can buy it on Xbox and you can buy it on Amazon and you can get it.
I'm certain also if you are fans of Broadway stuff, there is Broadway HD, which does have a back catalog of filmed Broadway shows. So they'll probably have this one up there as well.
Broadway HD?
Yeah. Also, Playbill occasionally has stuff up on their site, so...
That was not the website. Okay. Well, I'll look for that later. So, Broadway HD, just give that a search in your Google machine or maybe in your Bing machine, depending on what kind of results you want. Again, you should listen to our previous show to figure that one out. There's a bit of a bias going on there.
Bit of a bubble.
Your mileage may vary and probably does dramatically, and you don't even know it. So... with that, I think that brings us to a close. What do you think? We done?
Yeah, we've had a full meal.
We have had at least 4,000 calories of our salad. Again, we're playing off the other show, so you're going to have to listen to A, but this wraps up B. All right, that's it for tonight. We'll be back live next Friday about 9:30 p.m. Eastern. In the meantime, the conversations continue on the web. Head over to orellyradio.com. That's O-R-L-Y-R-A-D-I-O.com for all the links right at the top of the page. So you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Google+, and subscribe to the YouTube and the Twitch channel so you know when we go live. Of course, you can watch us live and join in the fun and in the chat all from our webpage. If you've stayed with us this long, all the way through the credits, how about you give us a hand? If you have a few dollars to spare, you can contribute to the Patreon and get early access to the show's release, and we'll even get you some special perks now and then. And hey, how about you just follow the Patreon link, and that'll take you over to the webpage, or you can go directly there at patreon.com/orellyradio. You can also make a one-time donation via the donate button on the webpage. If you can't fit us into your rainy day funds, do us a solid and share the show and leave us a review. We're always looking for new ideas for the show, too. So how about you share what's on your mind and shoot us a note over to orellyradiopodcast@gmail.com. Or if you're the more talkative sort, how about 470-222-6759, where it's always ready to take your call or your text. We can't thank you enough for spending some time with us. Until next time, this has been Oh Really Radio, part of the Cowan Services Network. Music for the show was curated by Kevin McLeod of Incomptech.com, and of course, random things that came in the EA trailer and all those fun things. So go watch the Tonys and watch out for that that Battlefield 1 drop, and I will see you and possibly snipe you in the head. We'll see about that. Catch you later, everybody. Toodles.
Night. Bye.